what time I am afraid. Psalm 56, the Bible says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. Verse number 3 and 4 is what I consider the theme verses for this chapters. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And that's David here. He's in peril. We're going to tell you about the story behind the chapter here in a little while. But he's afraid. And being afraid, he says, look, I've trusted in thee. Verse number 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? And thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today. Thankful for all the wonderful things that you do for us and all the blessings you bestow upon us. Help us to understand when there are things that brings fear to our hearts and mind as we put our trust in thee, that these things will overcome the fear. And Lord, help us to, no matter what situation we are in, learn to stand for you. And Lord, realize that you are our shield and that you are the one that takes care of us. And Lord, that we can trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. To go back and tell the story a little bit about this, the peril that he's going through. It's a time when the Philistines have taken David and Gath, and there's a passage of scripture here we're going to read in a second. But what has happened is Saul has gone and began to try to take David out. He becomes jealous. He becomes in a rage of envy. And he says, okay, I'm going to put David to death. And David then flees for his life. As David flees for his life, he goes to the priest. He gets Goliath's sword. And then he turns around and he heads over to the Philistines. And when he gets to Gath, he realizes that he's made a mistake. He's made a horrible mistake. He realizes this is not where he should be. And in this psalm, David is writing about his peril. He does something that I greatly admire and something that helps us and can help us all is even though he was a king of Israel, even though he was a mighty man, valiant in battle, he admitted his fear. There are things that will make us fearful at times. And that's when David says the answer to this time when we have fear is what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. This is mighty King David speaking. Remember, he was the killer of the giant, the slayer of the lion and the bear, the leader of the multitude, and the mighty soldier. But during this time period, he is rejoicing in God because he put his faith and trust in God. Let's look what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. You can listen if you like to, or you can read along, or you can read according to what the screen says. Now, I want to give you an understanding of what's going on in this story. He is now in the Philistines area, the battle, the enemy, and he is there, and he thinks he's going to find comfort there. But here, he rises, and he's in fear. Let's look in 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. The Bible says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? And did they not sing one to another of him? And dances saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. They're remembering what David had done to Goliath and how the people sang to David. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he realizes when he gets there, he realizes he's afraid. He should not be there. He has gone out in his own strength and his own mindset. He has gone and decided to go to Gath instead of trusting in God. So verse 13, you know, some can speculate whether David... did this because the Lord prompted him to, or what exactly, we're not really sure. I kind of believe that God came to him and says, look, you've been acting crazy already by coming here. Continue to act crazy, and then I will get you out of here. And says in verse 13, and he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrambled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall upon his beard. He says, so what's going on? He begins to act like he's a madman, that he's crazy in the presence of the king. And why would this work? And I think he's putting his faith and trust that God is going to get him out of this situation. I'll tell you in a second why. Verse 14, then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So it would have been very easy at that moment in time for this king of Philistines, or at least the king of Gath, say, hey, look, let's just go ahead and put him to death. He did this to Goliath. He's killed many of our people already. He is the great general in Israel. I don't know why he's here. Let's just put him to death. And we have another psalm that kind of coincides with this psalm. In Psalm chapter 34, David is talking, and you can turn your Bibles to Psalm 34 if you like to. But in Psalm chapter 34, you see the little title that is given. Psalms 34 says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Now here we see him changing his behavior and what happening and acting like a crazy man. And what does he say in this chapter? It's a wonderful chapter about how God takes care of his people that trust in him. Look what it says in verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open unto their cry. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So we're building something here. This is a story behind the Psalms. It's saying that David, and his own wisdom and his own strength, goes to Gath. He realizes when he gets there, he's in a mess. He realizes that he needs to get out of this mess. He realizes when he becomes afraid that I do not have to be afraid. I can put my trust in God, and God can take that fear away from me. And this is what happens. And we see here, you say, how do you think David was trusting in God? Well, in verse 15, he says, the eyes of the Lord are upright upon the righteous, and his ears open unto their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. He is doing what I believe God had prompted his heart. He got him out of this situation, and now he is headed back to wherever it is that he is going to hide. And during this time period, I think he is writing Psalms 56, and he's saying, look, everyone is against me. He said, but what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in thee. To give you another passage of scripture to help you understand this, you can take your Bible back to Psalm 56 and go to Psalm 55. In Psalm 55, he gives this idea of wishing that he was a dove that could fly away. He is a fearful dove. And in Psalm 55, verse number 4, remember, this is the mighty King David. Psalm 55, verse 4, my heart is sore, pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. This man, people are looking for his life. Saul and the army is out searching for him. Verse number 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. In verse number 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You know, there's David is saying, look, if I could just be like a dove. And he says he was in the hands of the Philistines, and God kept him and got him out of it. But verse number 7 says, lo, then when I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Now, what's the whole point of this? David's in a bad spot. He is afraid. He is fearful. He even says, look, if I was a dove, I'd fly away. But the truth is, flying away from our problems is not going to fix the problems. What we are fearful about is not something that is a problem with the circumstances around us, but instead it's a problem with our relationship with God himself. And David is saying, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And in verse number 4, he says, in God I will praise his word. If we will learn to trust in God and learn to praise his word and believe in his word, then the fear will go away. Now, can you have fear and faith at the same time? I think you can. But the faith is going to overcome that fear and be able to cause you to live. And that fear, as you're leaving, you'll be able to praise God because of the way he gave you to encourage. So first we're going to break down very quickly this chapter a little bit, and then we're going to head into some just practical points we can look at. First thing I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, David pours out his complaint. David pours out his complaint. He cries out, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He's saying, look, they would destroy me. They would get rid of me. If they had the choice and they saw me, they would swallow me up. We might have some problems, but not very many of us have somebody the next time they see you is going to kill you. And that's what Saul was doing. That's what Saul has commanded his army to do. Next time you find that guy, David, I want him gone. I don't want to ever see him again. And this is what David is crying out and making his complaint before God. He fighting daily oppressive me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, any chance they had, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. He said, men want to swallow me up. They want to make me disappear. They want to get rid of me. They want to devour me. They are fighting daily with me. He has a reason to be afraid. If there was not just one person looking for you, some of us would probably be fearful. But a king of a great nation that has his huge army at his dispense is looking for you and wants to kill you. You know what? That would even make us more fearful. And David follows this and gets to this point, and he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. David declares his confidence in God. He declares his confidence in God. See, we have a mingling of fear and trust here. The fear calls David to think of God and trust in God. What time I am afraid. Quivering, he says, I will trust in thee. And here, as you say, fear, this is something we should not have. Well, many times when we become afraid is when we will learn to trust in him. There are no perfect people. There are no sinless people. But David says, I'm trusting in you. David's quivering with fear, but at the same time, he is learning to lean and trust in God. As he continues to trust, just as we continue to trust, faith takes over the fear. It takes over the place where fear had reigned. And there's a lot of things we can become fearful of, a lot of things that we can be afraid of. And in verse number 4, he says, in God I will praise his word, in God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. And the question is, do we really truly fear men? He says, I will not fear what man can do to me. Proverbs says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. When we fear what people can do to us, then what they can say about us, then David had to deal with this fear of men. And David had to come to the spot, and he says, you know what? All these things are going on. Nothing is going to change. I went to Gath. I thought that was going to fix the things. He says, this is not going to help. I'm going to have to learn to stop fearing what man can do to me. Stop fearing what the circumstances could bring. I'm going to have to learn to put my trust in God. Here in 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect love in love. Perfect love casts out fear. See, love will do this as we love and understand God. But you can have faith and still be afraid. It is a blessed fear that drives us to trust Christ. To trust him when there is no cause for fear, yes, that is called faith. But to become reliant upon God when occasions for alarm are abundant and pressing, this is conquering faith. It's easy to say when there's no problems and there's no pressing needs in our lives, yes, I do not fear anything. Yes, we can call that faith. But that conquering faith is when those trials are pressing on us, they're abundant, and we see no way out. And that's when we say, that time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We can be afraid of a lot of things. We can be afraid of financial obligations. We can be afraid for our children. We can be afraid for what man may do to us. We can be afraid of our job. We can be afraid of so many different things. But David is walking away rejoicing because he said, look, I was fearful. And we saw those passages of scripture. He said everything was encompassing me. Everything was trying to get me. I went to a place where I thought I could find safety, and it wasn't even there. Many times we turn, we fly like he wanted to, just fly away from the problems. But that doesn't quench the fear. That doesn't take care of the problems. Just getting rid of the problem does not mean things are going to be fixed. But he says, look, the moment I learned that I had to trust in God here and now, that's when the fear went away. That's when faith took the place of fear. Does that mean you're never going to be afraid again? No. But when you're afraid, you learn to trust in God. You see, your fear will either take you to God, or your fear will take you somewhere else that you don't want to be. You say, what do you mean? Well, it took him to Philistines. He should have never been there. He says, I love that when he says in verse number 4, in God I will praise his word. You know, he's saying, look, I am going to praise God's word. I can believe in it. I can trust in it. On Wednesday night, we talked about faithfulness. And we said, you know what? Faithfulness. God has always been faithful. You don't ever have to worry. God has never for one moment been unfaithful to you. And that is the reason why we can trust in him. But Pastor, I'm afraid. I'm fearful of so much. I don't know what's going to happen. Put your trust in him. He said, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. It's just putting our faith and trust in him that he's in control of all things. You know, I always get the opportunity of talking to people and always have a privilege of getting to help people. And I was talking to an individual this week, and he was just going on and on about how bad the world is and how these different things that we needed to fix things. And he was from a different religion. And as we were conversation and it was going back and forth a little while, he says, well, if all you have to do is pray, 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 if that's the only answer you have, he says, then I would reject your religion because we need to stand up and do something. And I says, well, it depends on what your faith is in. Is your faith in yourself, and that's what every other religion is. I can work my way to heaven. I can earn my spot. It's not about faith and believing for righteousness' sake. Instead, I've done so much that God now has to let me in heaven. God now has to do this for me. I said, but there's a difference between, I says, obviously when God tells us to stand up and do something, we need to do something. We need to have feet to our faith and feet to our prayers and be willing to do what's right. I says, but it begins with our trust is in God. And we know that God has already told us and forewarned us that the world's going to get more and more wicked. The world's going to get worse and worse. And that, yes, we need to stand up and do something. But what he was talking about doing and what the Bible talks about doing is that what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in thee. In his mind, let me figure out what I can do to fix this problem, even if it means that I go ahead and do something that would be wrong in society's eyes. And the truth is, when we become afraid, that's when we need to learn to trust him. Third thing, David continues his complaint. He even gets a little bit more personal here. He continues on here, says, every day they rest my words. You ever been with somebody who you know no matter what you say, they're going to take what you say and they're going to twist it around? As a pastor, sometimes when you deal with other people's extended family or people's friends and they've been praying for them for a long time and they've gone through church and they've played the game before and they've had pastors disappoint them or people fail them, they listen for every single word you would say. And then when they find one thing they think they can attack you at, they'll take that and they'll begin to turn it and turn it till it becomes such a source of tension they don't want anything to do with you or do anything to do with your church. And that does happen. That's what David is saying here. He says, every day they rest my words. And sometimes when I talk to people, they says, I remember a year ago you said this. And you know, after having long conversations with people, they're like, well, you said this and this is what you meant. And I says, don't tell me what you meant. People many times will ask questions and just try to figure out what it is that we believe and try to figure out what is wrong. They don't care about being taught or trained. They're looking for a reason to have problems. And I think David was facing this. Saul watched him. He became so jealous and so envious of this that he came to the point where Saul wanted to kill him because of his actions. But David had done nothing wrong. He was clear in his conscience at this point in time. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. And I've seen people and I've heard people, they try to catch you. They want to say something. They want to find something against you. They are looking for a reason to complain. You could say things hundreds of times and say it right. But that one time, in that one moment, they jump all over you. And you know what happens then? Sometimes you become fearful. Sometimes you're like, did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong? Now I'm going to push these people away. But the Bible says, what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in thee. It's the idea that I've done everything that God wants me to, and I can have faith and peace. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. One person didn't like Jack Hiles very much, and there's a number of people that didn't like Jack Hiles a lot. And he told me that they wrote this little thing, and he says, we went and we followed Jack Hiles all around, even to the other places he was preaching, and they spied on him like a private detective would, just trying to find something he did wrong. They said they even watched his children as they were teenagers and see how they would act and how they would treat others, how they would dress, how they would walk, how they would talk, just because they wanted to find something that they could challenge him with. And I wonder what went through my mind was, what if somebody watched that person for a week or 2 weeks? We're all human. We're all got something. But when somebody tries to mark your steps and they wait for your soul, you have one or two choices. You can be fearful, and you can try to be perfect, and you can say, oh no, I hope that they don't Or you can say, you know what? I'm going to put my trust in God. What time I'm afraid, I'm going to just put my trust in God. And David here is saying, look, all their thoughts are against me. They mark my steps. They hide themselves. And I've seen people that get this, and they try to make sure a person does no wrong, but they're going to find fault. The devil's going to be able to find a fault. The devil's going to bring up things. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. David had much to be afraid of. He had much to fear. And he says, you know what? I put my trust in thee. My fear is gone. Where my fear was, faith is there now. And you keep on going, I don't know what you're afraid of today about, but God's saying you can put your trust in him. David pleads with earnest hope. Let's keep on going here. Verses 7 through 9 said, shall they escape by iniquity? He says, how can they get away with this? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book when I cry unto thee? Then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. You know, he gets to this point in hope. He's saying, look, I know God is for me. Because God is for me, then I am hope. That's where my trust is. And we don't have much time, so we're not going to be able to go over all this. But David's saying, look, put your bottle upon my tears. Catch my tears. He's saying, God, please keep up with me. And this is the thing. We know that God is for us. We know that God knows all our cries. God knows all our problems. God knows those things that we're fearful for. And that's why we have in our Bible, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's why we can say, in what time I'm afraid, I can trust in thee. I know that the world's going maybe crazy. The family might be falling apart. I know things aren't going the way that you expected they would. But God hears every one of your prayers. He knows everything you're going through. He sees what you're going through and what you're experiencing. And he's saying, if we say God is for us, then who is against us? Why do I have to be afraid of what man can do to me when I have a God that can be my shield and protect me from all things? We do need to move quickly here. The next few verses are wonderful. David sings a grateful song. And you see here, in God will I praise his word. I love that. You know, he's not saying he's just praising God. He puts his faith and trust in God's word. And the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do to me. And now listen to this next phrase. Thy vows are upon me. And here's the point. He's saying, look, your vows, the promises and the guarantees that you have given me, they're upon me. There is one thing for us to say, I'm going to follow after God. I'm going to serve after God. There's a whole nother thing that says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, we can make all these promises, and as humans, sometimes we fail. As humans, sometimes we give up. As humans, sometimes we falter, and we should not. We should do our best. But when we see that God has given us a vow, that God has promised us that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, that he's never going to see the righteous begging bread, he's giving us so many promises that we can trust in him. He says, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. And he begins this three-part thing here. He says, look, you've delivered my soul from death. He says, now, will you keep my feet from falling? He says, look, keep my feet from falling. Look, you delivered my soul from hell. Now, please, make sure I don't fall. And he continues on, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. You know, when you got somebody who's sick, and they're maybe near death, maybe the way we should be praying is, God, raise this person up so that way they can live for you. Because that's what he's saying. David's saying, that I may walk. You know, why should God heal the person if they're just going to go live wickedly? If they're not going to live for him. Maybe so that way they can know Christ. But I'm talking about a Christian. He's saying, look, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He says, look, you delivered my soul. Keep me from falling so I can walk before you. And that's why sometimes you got to say, you know what? Help me not be afraid. Because I want to walk before you. I don't want to fall off the side and head off to the Philistines or head off to Gath because I'm afraid of something. I don't want to give in. I don't want to go over to the other side. I want to do what's right. Now, Lord, keep me from falling so I can walk before thee. Three things that I think that hopefully we can help you a little bit this morning. First of all, afraid of living. Afraid of living. You say, Pastor, that's pretty strange. Now, this word afraid for living is what I'm talking about is living for God. There's many people today that are fearful for living for God. This is, I don't know what would happen to my family. I don't know what my friends would think. I don't know what my wife might think or my husband would think. I don't think I can do this. And here in this story, we most of us know the story. We don't have time for most of it because We just are out of time. That Jesus, Peter's there. They've been fishing all night. He's mending his nets. He's there. Jesus goes and he teaches and preaches. And he says, looks at Peter and says, okay, Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to go out. And Peter's like, we've already been fishing. We've been there all night. He says, I know more about this than you do, God. There's no purpose. He says, and Jesus told him to cast out his nets. Peter says, okay, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll cast out my net. And here, when he comes and he gets this great amount of fishes, Peter's response was, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He said, look, I can't do this. I cannot do what you want me to do. I am a sinful man. And you know what the Lord says? The sons of Zebedee, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to live the way that God wants you to. And as Peter must have been here when he says, he must have had some type of fear inside of him. Though he could not do anything that Peter could do anything that needed to be doing. He was a man's man. He was a fisherman. He could handle a boat by brute force. He could carry fish in. But what God is saying here, the things that you are best at, God knows more. The things that you're the most talented at, God says, I know even better. And many times when we have leadership abilities, we're apt to use these things unwisely. Sometimes we become abusive with our strengths. And what we need to learn to do is, what time we are afraid, I will trust in thee. So what do you put in your mind that? See, we all think we have certain strengths and certain abilities that we don't need God's help in certain areas. But God says, I want you to live for me. I want you to be willing to lay down any and everything that I've ever given you and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. But pastor, if I go and do this, see, that's the fear. He says, what time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. Living for God, there's many people that are afraid today to live from God. He said, I'm not afraid of anything. Well, do you tithe? Do you witness? Do you live a life like God has told you to live by loving your wife and by, the Bible is filled with so much. Why aren't you doing those things? Many times it's because we're afraid of living the way that God wants us to, because we think we know what's better. God puts and humbles Peter here and says, look, let me take what you think you know best and show you I know more. You think about when they're out in the boat that night in Sea of Galilee. These men knew the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hands. And when they left the shore and they were going to the other side, that great storm comes. God was just showing them, look, the things you know best, I even know better. Live for me. That's what I want you to do. Not only is it afraid of living, afraid of leading. Afraid of leading. Joshua had this great opportunity and responsibility to be able to lead the nation of Israel after Moses. And for some reason, God over and over said, be strong and of a good courage. He says it again in verse number 7, only be thou strong and be very courageous. And now, he must have had some fear there. Can you imagine the responsibility of leading millions of people through a promised land where there's giants at? Man, that would be huge. But you know, I know some ladies that are scared half to death when it just comes to having to raise children, and some husbands that are scared half to death to be the head of the household. They don't want to lead. They want to be left alone. They're afraid. We're fearful of what it means to take a leadership role. And we all have someone we can be an example to. We all have someone that we can be leading. We all have somebody we should be helping disciple and helping trust. And that's why he says, look, when you get afraid to lead, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When it comes to those spots when he's like, you know what? I don't really want to do it this way. I'm afraid of what's happened. If I leave myself out there, if I lead, someone might hurt me, or somebody might poke me in the back or stab me in the back. But what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And here's the point. There are times when we're fearful. But what do we do with that fear? Do we trust in him? Last but not least, not only is afraid of living and leading, we'll let those that had to go for class and ministry sake step out real quick, and then we'll get finished here. Last but not least, we have afraid of leaving. This is pretty common. Some people are afraid of death. I've met many a person that is fearful of what's going to happen. And as they're fearful of what's going to happen, they turn around and say, I don't know what's going to happen. They become fearful towards the end of their life. That's not the way it's supposed to be for a Christian. We should not be afraid of dying or afraid of leaving. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. We have a reward in heaven. You know, there is many things we can be afraid of. And there are some things there that I've tried to bring out that would be appropriate for Christians that would be at a Sunday school this morning. Look, we don't have to be afraid of living for God. At what time I am afraid? Will there be times when we're fearful about telling someone? Will there be times when we're fearful to lead? Will there be times when we're fearful to do the right thing? The answer is yes. It's never going to stop. But when we say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm just going to trust in you, God. I know it's going to have a backlash. I know it might seem like things are going to become more difficult. Times are going to become harder. But I am just going to trust in you. David here is running for his life, and he says, the Lord just delivered me out of Gath, and no matter what happens, next time I'm afraid, I'm going to just trust in him. And I don't know what you're facing today, but we all face different things that we might be afraid of. Sometimes it's living for God the way we should. Sometimes it is about being a leader. Sometimes it is about what death will hold for us. But we can put our trust in God this morning. Let's pray.